When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. My name is Tim, and the topic of our podcast today is Willie Francis, the man who was executed twice. It's a kind of a screwed-up story, kind of a sad story. Very sad story, actually. And we're going to talk about it and get into all the details of it. But before we do, let me introduce the Queen Amin, the mistress of the macabre, the empress of evil, and Satan's dirty little secret, the very lovely and talented Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm well. How are you?
I am fine. I am
good.
Very
better today than
before? Yes. I want to thank everyone for your nice comments and your nice words of support. But I'm okay. I just had a little bad day yesterday, but everything's cool. I am also joined by the very distinguished, very honorable, debonair, I would
say. That's about it.
Wouldn't you say debonair?
I would not.
The most dangerous man in podcasting today, Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Oh, the Colonel doing fine, Timmy.
I'm
Colonel
glad.
Just doing fine.
Well, Colonel, you know, we put out, you know, I threw my phone number out there and told people that if they wanted your photo, that they could text me and I would send them a picture of you, the picture that we took at our last podcast, on the podcast that we did the last time, which was on, what was it, the Moore murders.
Mm-hmm.
Did your phone ring all night, Timmy? Was it buzzing off the hook?
Actually, I got one text. And remember, I said...
And it was only half-assed.
And I said, to say... I told him that they had to text me the words, I love the Colonel, and I would text... I would send them your photo. So I got one text,
Was she cute?
I don't know who it was from. Actually, They just said, I love the Colonel. Well, he makes me laugh sometimes. So... that is the only text I got. But I sent him the photo, so...
But, I did not see the photo. Did you get my good side, Timmy?
I got your only side.
Do you have one of those?
Any shout-outs, Colonel?
Well, I got my normal shout-outs. Lady Beverly.
Yes.
Lady Beverly, we...
We really appreciate Lady Beverly updating the History Dweeb page with British history. She is our British correspondent.
Yes, she is our British correspondent.
Yeah, she's doing a great job. So keep up the good work, Lady Beverly.
Of course, Brittany Nicole. I want to give a shout out to her.
Yes.
Kim Taylor.
Yes, Kim.
I have to give a shout out. Celine. Mm-hmm. And what I'm trying to do is get all these lovely ladies that's on Team Devil over mm-hmm. to the Team Colonel side.
You're trying to recruit them.
Well, I'm just, you know...
Save them, maybe.
Does the devil give them shout-outs? She don't give them shout-outs.
You're kind of like...
She takes... Ladies, she's taking you for granted. The Colonel won't take you for granted.
Not ever.
You're kind of like Jerry Falwell. You're trying to save their souls.
I'm trying to save you, ladies. I'm trying to save you.
They're my squad.
Come over to the Colonel team. He'll take good care of you, ladies.
Well, I want to also give a shout-out. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You cut me up before I did my most important shout-out.
Okay, please proceed.
The lovely, the talented, the woman who gave birth to this man next to me, the lovely Dottie Scott.
Yeah, hi, Mom. We also want to give a shout-out to Brandy's brother, Casey, who is not who was supposed to come into a podcast with us, but that got postponed.
Well, yeah, because I went to the hospital.
Yeah,
why? And this is what I don't get. Casey can't come here without you?
Well, what he said was that, because I told him that he could, because I'm a giver and secure in my position.
You're a big bossy sister, and said, no, if I'm not going to be there, you can't get
him. And what he said was, but then it'll just turn into a Brandy Slam Fest and you're not there, and that's just not nearly as much fun.
It is more fun to slam you while you're here.
So, clearly. So, he did not come in, but he wants to. He's very excited. He wants to come in. So,
well, we had a lot of fun.
I saw him this weekend.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So
he's going to come in?
Well, yeah, he'll come in again. We just got to figure time out.
And when I get back from vacation.
Probably when you get back from vacation. And I would also like to give a shout out. It is my mother-in-law's birthday today. So happy birthday, Grandma Mary Jo.
Mary Jo, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
She has just started listening, I understand. So
okay, she has some catching up to do.
Oh, she
you
don't
can
know.
Spend her birthday binge listening to our podcast.
She's been laid up a little bit. She has with her ankle. She had some surgery on her ankle. So.
Well, that's going around, man.
So she has been laid up. So she probably has nothing else to do but listen to us. So
I want to note that I was nowhere near your mother-in-law when she had her ankle problem.
You're trying to kill her mother-in-law too, Timmy. Trying to kill her too.
Anyway, Mary Jo is her name.
Yes,
thank you for listening, Mary Jo, and we hope you have a wonderful birthday.
And it should be noted that the Colonel, now, most people would not expect a man of my refinement to have these kind of skills. But
I don't expect you to have any skills.
No skills are really required to do this podcast, are they?
Not really.
But if you're a regular listener, you know that we do this at well, actually, we do it on our jobs. On our own job. And we do it in the devil's den.
Yes. Brandy's office.
Yeah, the devil's den. And
man cave.
It's a cavernous thing, and there's a bit of an echo. And the colonel going to use all his carpentry skills, which, you know, they say God doesn't give with both hands, but with the colonel, he just gave in excess.
Threw shit at you.
Just more than most people could handle. So I'm gonna make some adjustments to our ad hoc studio here.
For clarification, are you gonna do that before or after you set up the YouTube channel?
There's gonna be a before. This is more important.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any other shout outs, Colonel?
I do have one.
Yes.
I'd like to give I don't do this often enough. I'd like to give a shout out to my dog, Rudy.
Okay, Rudy is a dog and doesn't listen and would not understand this.
Rudy listens. He downloads
I love Rudy.
Rudy's got his own iPod. And he got us. He's a subscriber.
I picture him more of an Eminem type of puppy.
Well, he likes some rap music.
Okay.
Yeah, he he don't like Kanye. He doesn't like Kanye at all. No. He's a big 50 Cent fan.
I can see him listening to 50 Cent.
Fan.
Yeah.
Of course, he's a Bruce fan. But, you know, I want to give a shout-out to the Rutabaga. He's maybe the finest canine that's ever really walked the face of Earth. I mean, Lassie pales in comparison.
I know he's very excited about the Super Bowl.
Oh, he is.
And he has his Peyton Manning jersey ready to
Rudy's got his... For you sports fans out there who know the Super Bowl's coming up, the Colonel's a Broncos fan. As a matter of fact, I got my orange tie and blue pants on today. And Rutabaga has his own jersey.
I know,
And it's got number one on it, and it says Rudy on the back, and it's a Denver Broncos jersey. It was custom made just for him.
Well, he'll be excited on, so go Broncos.
And when the Broncos score a touchdown, I just say Broncos touchdown, and he gives me a high five with one paw.
Oh, nice. Okay, so hey there, Rudy. I'd like to give a couple shout-outs, too. I got a nice email from Rebecca who gave us a whole list of possible subjects to cover and some really good ones on that list. So thank you, Rebecca. She's listening in, over in Great Britain, so we appreciate that. And as always, Allie, we appreciate Allie. She's very active on her page and always listens in and a cool lady, so we appreciate you listening, Allie, down here in Australia. Stephanie Q, we want to say hi to her. And Matt Smith, he made a comment on our last podcast, and we're glad that he's listening, and please continue to listen. And for all of you, please continue to stay active on the Facebook page, because we love interacting with all of you.
And also, I did listen to one more of Charlie's episodes on Unblocked.
Oh, did you?
I listened to it. She has one where she has her, I guess it's like take a kid to work day. and she has a boy do a podcast.
Oh yeah, I listened to that. So that was cool.
That was very cool.
So did you listen to the one Unblocked on the Making of a Murderer?
I've only been able to hear two of them so far. I'm gonna do a little binge.
But you listened to it, right, Brandy? Too. I listened to it as well. It was really good. Well done. So, yeah.
Definitely. So Charlie, just know that when you say the word "the devil be gone," you be on the podcast.
Yeah,
really.
I actually talked to her about possibly her joining us for a podcast through Skype or something. So we're going to talk about that later on.
She's going to interview me because she wants to do people that are interesting in the Colonel.
Yes. Couldn't find anybody else.
Has had.
Man, that's pretty far down the list.
The most interesting thing on the Colonel is I have at last count. When we were in the hospital, the emergency room, the Cardinals had over 100 stitches in his leg.
So, I don't know why that is such a source of pride for you.
Well, I'm getting a text from him this morning, right? For you, I don't know. Colonel comes in a little bit later than the rest of us.
It works later,
if that's fair. But he sent me a text and he said, let's talk about our mental health issues because people seem to like that.
No, I said we should do a PSA because you mentioned that you had some anxiety issues.
That's true.
The Colonel himself has dealt with various depression issues.
You have more Xanax than I've ever seen in my life. You get more Xanax a month than I've had in my life.
It's for good reasons. I mean, the Colonel can get a little wound up, and it's...
Get out of town.
Yeah, the Colonel can get a little wound up. It's kept to just keep him kind of... It's like the kids that have ADD to get the Adderall.
Yeah.
I have the ADD, and the impulse sometimes to choke people.
Okay, I'm never going to do this again, but I'm going to ask you to tell a story. Tell us your anger management story.
Why?
I think people don't like his anger management story.
Okay, my neighbor.
Give us a
quick version of it.
Is there a quick version?
My neighbor, I did not like, and I was putting up a fence, and he came over and hassled me about the fence, and he had been using my property, and I told him get off my property. He wouldn't get off my property. It was a hot, sunny day. So I physically removed him from his property, and I removed his garbage can from my property. And in the course of removing that said garbage can, it hit my neighbor while he was laying in his driveway. It just happened to hit him. I just kind of gave him a little nudge, and he fell down his driveway. And so they sent me to anger management.
The police came.
Forgot that part. They sent me to anger management.
Yeah.
And I got there, and it was me. It was court ordered. So there was me and 9 domestic violence guys.
Okay.
And I get this guy who's telling this story, and he's a little scrawny pipsqueak guy. He's telling this story about how his wife or girlfriend, whatever, was not respecting him. Mm-hmm. And if you talk to a man like that, you're going to have to accept the consequences.
This is a younger guy.
Younger guy, didn't have his good head on straight. And, you know, the first couple guys, you know, they was domestic violence, and the first guy... You had to admire the guy a little bit. He said, you know, I've been thinking about this for a long time, and my problem's not my temper. My problem's alcohol. This only happens when I drink. Mm-hmm. And he said, so I got to get my alcohol problem under control. And he took ownership for what he did. The second guy was blaming his girlfriend. And he says, you know, if you talk to me like that. Now, that was the colonel getting a little tense.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps going. I said, you know, now hold on. And it's a moderated group. And mm-hmm. So I said, look here. I said, I don't know what the girl said to you, but I will say it to you. It ain't had nothing to do with disrespect. I will say it to you, and I will place my wallet right on this chair. And if you come over here to lay your hands on me like you did your little girlfriend, well, the colonel, he 190-pound man. He's going to whip your ass for you. So the moderator's like, whoa. I said,
basically, you got thrown out of
anger management.
They asked me if I could just attend solo sessions of anger management.
You had to do them online?
No, they sent me to a They sent me to an individual therapist. The colonel got kicked out of anger management class for getting too angry.
So, oh, my God.
But I did complete my 10 weeks. I got my certificate. I took it to the judge, and I got the charges
dropped. You should totally hang that in your office.
I should have that in my
office. Frame it and hang it in your office.
And then next week, we'll talk about when you were institutionalized for your suicide.
Well, that's a longer story, but it was a misunderstanding.
It was an actual misunderstanding. Suicide attempt.
Yeah, I did not think about suicide.
No, it wasn't an actual suicide attempt.
But let me I'm not going to tell the story, but if a psychiatrist ever asks you, do you have a plan? Don't come up with one off the top of your head, because the colonel came up with a damn good one and they put me in the damn hospital. And for being a quick thinker. I mean, what the hell?
You thought it was a brainstorming session.
That's what I thought, it was like a test. You know, what kind of plan could you come up with? I came up with a really good one. And next thing I know, I'm being institutionalized.
Ugh.
It was only for one day.
Yeah. Well, we'll tell that another time.
Where you fought with an old man over quarters.
It was a security guard. I wanted to get a soda. He told me I could not go to the soda machine. I had $20 worth of quarters. And I just said to
the
man,
were they in a sock? Because you could have beat him with them.
I said, look here, I just want a soda.
Did you refer to yourself as a colonel?
At that time, I wasn't a colonel. And I said,
because you would have been in there more than one time.
I would have been. I said, look here, I just want to get a soda. And he said, well, you can't do that. And I said, but they told me I had access to the machines. And he said, but you just been here. We don't know. And I said, look, there's a blizzard outside. There was literally a blizzard that day. I said, where am I going to go? Well, I just want to go down to one floor and go to. And he said, I cannot let you do that. And this was a guy, he was probably about 60 years old. He was about 130 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So I say to him, I said, look here, I'm going to go down and get my Mountain
Dew. You're talking to him like Foghorn Leghorn. He's not going to let you go anywhere.
And he said, and he finally gets real stern and crosses his arms.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I do not think you understand. I cannot allow you to do that.
He will not put up with your shenanigans.
So I crossed my arms just as he did, and I said, sir, I don't think you understand. You cannot stop me from doing that. Now, let's analyze this situation, sir. You are a 60-year-old man, about 130 pounds, and I'm about a 30-year-old man, and I'm 185 pounds. The question we ask ourselves here is, do we want to wrestle around on the floor for a bottle of Mountain Dew? And I do not believe you will come out ahead in that battle. So he looked at me and he thought it over real good.
He
says to me,
he should have tased you.
This is before the days of tasers. He was a security guard at a hospital. That's all he had.
He should have tased you in the face.
So he looks at me, Timmy,
basically.
And he says to me, I'll go get it for you. And I said, no. It's a matter of principle, because you know I'm a principal man, Timmy. I said, no, too late for that now, because I might want a snack, too, and I don't know what I want.
You might want cheese crackers.
I might want to read
this
story.
So then he looks at me and says, do you promise me you're going to come right back?
Yeah, because people in loony bins are good for their word.
And I said, would you look at what's going on outside? It was literally a blizzard. It was one of those level 4 snow emergencies where you are not allowed to be on the road.
Right.
You know, you could get arrested for being on the road.
I understand what a level 4 is. Thank you.
And I said, I don't even have a coat. Where the hell am I going to go?
Did you have like one of those hospital
gown? Here was a crazy thing. They let you, if you're on the seventh floor, you have to have a key to get on the elevator to the seventh floor.
There's a reason for that.
There is. And you get to wear your own clothes. And in the lounge, you can smoke. It's against the law to smoke in Ohio in a building.
You don't want to take the nicotine away from.
But when you're they will not let you have a lighter. They will not let you have a lighter. But you walk up to the nurse's thing and say, "Hey, I need a light." She will light your cigarette for you. You walk right back to the lounge.
Do like Flint?
No. Well, I mean, I could see
rub
why.
Some sticks
because
together.
If you was there with some of the people I was with,
pyros, yeah, I get it.
I mean, they was, but yeah, it was. So, you know, but it was a great story.
So you got your soda.
I did get my soda. I got a Milky Way bar. I came and watched
the TV.
From
one psycho to another. Timmy, please.
I would just like to point out, I've never been institutionalized.
It was voluntary.
It's not that it's not in my future. I'm just saying, up to this point.
It was a voluntary thing until my doctor could get there the next day and check me out.
It was a misunderstanding.
It was a paperwork misunderstanding.
I've never had that misunderstanding.
Yeah, me neither. Okay, so let's talk
about... We travel in different circles.
Yeah. Let's talk about Willie Francis, shall we?
I would love to talk about Willie Francis.
Okay, this is a kind of a sad story. I got bummed out by writing it, but anyway.
Jesus Christ, really? What about your mental health?
No, I'm not in that sense. It's just sad. Willie Francis was a young man. He was born on January 12, 1929, in St. Martinsville, Louisiana.
His mother was pregnant over the holidays.
Yeah, poor woman.
Is everyone we talk about born in January? Jiminy. But anyway, January 12, 1929, he was an African-American young man. Growing up in the Deep South during the Jim Crow era. And for those of you who live outside of the United States are not familiar with Jim Crow, they were what they called Jim Crow laws. It was basically institutionalizing discrimination. Is that a fair way to put it, Colonel?
Yeah.
That's what Jim Crow... It's a horrible thing. The shame of the South.
Yeah, they would. Well, I mean, it wasn't. They had some
shame of the nation, really.
Yeah, because it was in the North.
It was too. In the North too. I shouldn't say the South. Yeah, out. It was everywhere.
And basically, what they would do is they would keep blacks would kept separate from whites and all sorts of different areas such as housing,
water fountains,
schools, water fountains, restrooms.
Yeah, you had to go around the back and get food at a restaurant.
Restaurants, movie theaters. I remember when I was a kid, you know, and this the Civil Rights Act passed in 1964, but I remember going to a theater in my cinema in my hometown. It was an older cinema. And, you know, by that time, the Civil Rights Movement had already taken place and civil rights laws passed. But, you know, seeing the old faded signs and like had been...
Yeah, but I think your hometown just kind of kept it around.
Yeah, that's probably true. You know, like they would say colored only.
Right where I lived, to me, right up the... There's a small little burg up by where I live.
On the west side.
Mm-hmm. On the west side. And this little town, it was a city of its own. It actually had a sign that said no coloreds after sundown.
Yeah, so it was disgraceful.
And this was in Ohio. I mean, it's in Ohio.
Black schools were, you know, poorly funded, so the education opportunities were not the same. In addition to all of that, there were laws that were in place to disenfranchise black voters, you know, discourage people from African Americans from voting. And not only is that bad in terms of they're unable to vote and have representation, but only registered voters were allowed to serve on juries. So the jury system was made up of mostly whites. So this was a time in the South where the Ku Klux Klan was very active. There were frequent lynchings of blacks by the KKK. Many of the public officials were members of the Ku Klux Klan, or at least sympathetic to their cause. That included law enforcement officers, judges, and politicians. In fact, many of the politicians, had to have the Klan's support to get elected in a lot of positions. So they were a powerful political organization in the South. So that's the environment that young Willie grew up in. So in short, the system was just rigged against African Americans. So Willie grew up in a Christian home in St. Martinsville, Louisiana. His mother and father did their best to raise their... he was the youngest of 13 children. So they had they had a big family.
Damn.
Willie did poor in school. Part of his problem was he had a speech impediment, and you know other kids were making fun of him, so he didn't like to talk, and so he kind of kept to himself.
Like we do you?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, he's just like that. But Willie, but I continue to talk.
Much to our delight.
But Willie was a good boy. Other than that, never got into any serious trouble. In 1944, Willie was 16 years old, barely literate because of these, you know, poor education. And that's where our story takes off.
So in November of 1944, there was a man, 53-year-old Andrew Thomas. He was a well-liked owner of Thomas's drugstore in the pastoral Cajun town of St. Martinsville, Louisiana.
We got Thomas, a lot of stories from Louisiana.
Yeah.
Well, Thomas, who was white, was hit by 5 shots fired at close range. The theories of who killed him just were, there were a ton of them. He was a lifelong bachelor. Evidently, he was a little slutty. Was suspected of numerous romantic liaisons.
With
married women.
Well, there's something wrong with that.
But after a 9-month investigation, all the leads had run cold. So, slutty guy gets gunned down.
Yeah.
And we're going to...
Bachelor, player.
Spend him some crazy time.
He was a player.
Researching. He's a, well, player's got to play.
Yeah, player's got to play.
Haters going to hate.
They are. So the, all these leads ran cold. And that, but that changed on August 3rd of 1945 when... And this is what I don't get, but okay. In 1945, when police in Port Arthur, Texas, 150 miles from St. Martinsville... happened upon Willie Francis, who was visiting his sister.
Yeah, you know who's from Port Arthur?
Who's from Port Arthur?
Chuck.
Arthur.
Janis Joplin.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. The Pearl.
Pearl, yeah.
Great. So, Francis, again, who was visiting his sister,
right,
was carrying a suitcase.
And
the cops, who were on the lookout for drug traffickers, took him into custody for questioning because he was carrying a suitcase on a trip.
Yeah. It had nothing to do with him being black, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
No.
He did convince his interrogators that he wasn't a narcotics dealer. But the cops noticed that he stuttered, which they determined indicated guilt. Wow. So they got him. They know he's guilty of something because the guy stutters.
Got to find out what it is.
Yeah.
Didn't do it.
Well, that means, with that logic, Porky Pig killed JFK.
That's a good point.
Porky Pig flew those planes into the towers.
I mean, my God. So they proceeded to ask him about his involvement in numerous robberies and assaults in the Port Arthur area. So King reports that police accounts reveal...
Yeah, this is a guy who wrote a book on this other thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So police accounts reveal a startling, even an unbelievable turn of events. According to Port Arthur Police Chief Claude Goldsmith, who did not keep any notes or records of the interrogation, Willie confessed. In a matter of minutes, Willie just confessed.
He just rolled over.
First of all, he's not confessing to anything in a matter of minutes because he stutters.
Well, that's true. Maybe he wrote out his confession. No, he was illiterate, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, when we talk about this confession, I think you're going to bring this up. This is like the Brandon Dassey
situation. They fed it to him, yeah. What's more, when they...
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Inspected Francis's wallet, they found an ID bearing the name of Andrew Thomas. Francis initially named several others in connection with the murder, but the police dismissed these claims. So we're not even going to look at that. No. Yeah. You're the mastermind here.
Yeah, they found out where he came from, and since they didn't have couldn't hang anything on him in Port Arthur, they said, well, he must
have
done
something. Why did he have the ID? Do we know?
Okay. Continue.
Let's see. A short time later, Francis, under interrogation, confessed to Thomas's murder, writing, "It was a secret about me and him." Ooh, a dirty secret. The actual meaning of his statement is still uncertain, but author Gilbert King, in his book, The Execution of Willie Francis, alludes to rumors in St. Martinsville of sexual abuse by the pharmacist.
Yeah, the rumor was that they were doing the dirty, that he was, you know, he was sleeping with these young boys.
Gross.
Willie was one of them.
But he was giving them the Oxycontin.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I'm reading my script. What's it to you?
No, I was... okay. So, Well, yeah, for OxyContin, yeah, I can see that happening. Francis later directed the police to where he disposed of the holster used to carry the murder weapon. The gun used to kill Thomas was also found near the crime scene and belonged to a deputy sheriff in St. Martinsville who had once threatened to kill Thomas.
Yeah, no connection there.
No, yeah. Thank God we didn't follow up on that. It, along with the bullets, disappeared from evidence just before the trial.
Oops.
So we misplaced things.
So the gun that was used to kill this guy belonged to the deputy sheriff, and it was missing.
Well, that's poo-poo. That's crazy talk.
And that's the sheriff that arrested him.
That's crazy talk. Well, no. This was a sheriff in
St. Martinsville.
Yeah.
Okay. So Francis's written statement, of course, was just damn near illegible, replete with spelling errors. He admits he stole a .38 pistol for the planned murder. His statement further concedes that he took Thomas's wallet containing $4 along with a gold watch, which he later pawned. No counsel was present at the time of this alleged confession.
Yeah, I mean, he's a 16-year-old, barely literate kid, away from home, getting bullied into this confession.
Besides the fact that it's not all unheard of for people to confess to just about anything while being interrogated, let alone a teenager being the one being coerced, the fact that at the time police on the whole frequently were quite brutal during their interrogations of minors. And there were a number of fishy things about the supposed evidence.
Except they were very nice to the black ones.
Yeah, I'm sure. They were very nice.
They were very courteous.
So here's some goofy things about the supposed evidence against him. The gun that Francis supposedly used to murder Thomas belonged to a sheriff's deputy. The gun was lost, Air Bunnies, before the trial, as were the recovered bullets. Suspiciously, they were lost while in transit to the FBI crime lab where they were going to be analyzed.
This so happens.
You know, the FBI is known for losing stuff.
Yeah.
They do lose stuff.
They didn't bother to check the gun for fingerprints or even check that the bullets found in Thomas's body came from the gun that was eventually lost. They didn't even see if the caliber matched what was in
there. So thorough investigation.
The deputy whose gun was stolen, again, Air Bunnies, supposedly reported it missing 2 months before the murder. Problem is there's no record of him reporting it stolen, so we just have to go by the word of the deputy and the word of the district attorney, who says he remembered the deputy mentioning that it had been stolen.
It seems that I recall you saying something.
Maybe. The deputy once threatened to kill Andrew Thomas, as he was convinced that Thomas was attempting to have an affair with his wife, amongst other women in town, because Andrew Thomas was a slut.
So the deputy whose gun is missing, whose gun just happened to disappear, mm-hmm. just happened to be used in a murder of the guy that was banging his wife.
Well, no, he was attempting to have an affair with his wife.
Okay.
Come on now.
Okay. All right. Jeez. I'm sorry.
Trying to bang his wife. Amongst other women, because he's slutty. Before the arrest of Francis, most of the town just assumed that an angry boyfriend or husband had murdered Thomas, as he frequently spent time with many women of the town in their homes when their husbands weren't around. The pocket watch that Francis supposedly stole from Thomas after the murder and then pawned at the jeweler's was never found, and the owner of Revere's jewelry store, where Francis and the police showed up, said he didn't remember any such transaction. His records did show that he'd purchased a watch from someone for $5 around the appropriate time, but whether it was the watch or not is the question, and he said he'd never seen Francis before. He was never asked to testify about the watch that Francis supposedly stole.
So basically have nothing on him.
Well, he's black.
You got nothing on me, cop.
Well, he would have said, you got nothing. Yeah, no, I mean, he was stuttering, so he couldn't even make a defense for himself.
Right.
So let's see.
But he gets a stellar defense team.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah.
When Thomas's neighbors, Alvin and Ida Van Brocklin, heard the gunshots, Ida looked out the window and saw a car with the lights on in the driveway outside of Thomas's house. The car wasn't there in the morning when the body was found. And Francis never learned to drive a car. He didn't have access to a car. He was just a poor kid. A month later, Francis was indicted by a grand jury, and in no time flat, a trial was scheduled. A jury of 12 white men. Clearly not his peers.
A jury of his peers.
Yeah. was selected. As testimony unfolded, the jurors learned that there was no forensic evidence linking Francis to the crime. Also missing were the murder weapon and the bullets. The gun used to kill Thomas. Let's see. Gun used to kill Thomas was found near the crime scene. It belonged to the deputy sheriff in Martinsville. The gun, the bullets were recovered. They disappeared. No fingerprints had ever been lifted from the gun. Without the alleged murder weapon or the wristwatch as evidence, the bulk of the district attorney's case rested exclusively on confessions obtained by police while the teenaged Willie Francis was in custody and without legal counsel. Later, attorneys and journalists reviewing the trial transcript dubbed the proceedings a farce and a travesty. During the trial of Willie Francis, the court appointed defense attorneys changed Francis's plea from not guilty to guilty without his consent.
Oh, that's nice.
Gets better. Offered no objections, called no witnesses, put up no defense, and failed to question the validity of the dubious confession.
So they do all this knowing that a guilty verdict is going to send him to the electric chair. They didn't even do an opening statement.
Yeah.
I mean, how lazy are these fuckers? Not only incompetent, but you're lazy and incompetent.
From Manitowoc County.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, just 2 days after the trial began, Willie Francis stood convicted of murder and was sentenced to death by 12 all-male, all-white jurors and the judge.
What a shock that was.
Deliberations took 15 minutes. Okay. And that's because they wanted free lunch.
They wanted a free lunch ticket.
Let's see. No appeals were ever filed on Willie's behalf.
Well, so Willie gets the chair.
Mm-hmm. He gets the electric chair.
And by getting the chair, it means something completely different to Willie.
Mm-hmm.
They call it the Louisiana electric chair Gruesome Gertie.
Oh, I like Old Sparky so much better.
No, Gruesome Gertie. And his executioners were the prison captain, Effie Foster, in prison of... They used to had a prisoner do this.
Yeah, the electric chair was at the state prison in Angola. So instead of moving Willie to Angola to electrocute him, they moved the chair.
Yeah, they thought it was easier to move the chair around.
Yeah, yeah.
So they strap Willie in. And the guys that strap him in as executioners was just drunk as skunks. When they do this.
Drunk.
But they did the state's bidding and put him in the chair. Then something surprising happened. Despite being zapped repeatedly by electricity, Francis did not die.
But I bet it got rid of his stutter.
Now the spectators...
Made it worse.
The spectators were horrified and relieved to learn that the mechanical malfunction would be corrected and a second execution ordered.
Do you remember in the Green Mile? Remember in the Green Mile when they didn't put the sponge, they put a dry sponge?
Yeah.
That wormy guy put a dry sponge on the guy's head and it caught him on fire.
Yeah, make him suffer more.
Yeah. I did not approve of that.
So
I mean, how awful would it be to be sitting in a... I mean, being condemned to death, sitting in an electric chair, and they turn it on, and then you don't die.
Well, there's some people that deserve that, and that's fine.
This is not one of those people.
It gave him quite a jolt.
I'm sure it did.
But it didn't kill him. So they said, okay, we got to make some tweaks. You know, we got some technical issues. We're going to fix this and do it again. So,
hour or so passes.
They get it fixed. They flip the switch on the chair, and nothing happened. So he starts toggling it on and off.
Ugh.
Well, what happens is...
A nightmare.
This is your nightmare?
The electric chair itself starts just bucking and skittering across the floor.
So it starts moving.
It's like when you don't put a balance load in a washing machine and it walks across the floor.
So the electric
chair... That's what it's doing here. So they're just juicing the shit out of Willie. But the second shock don't kill him. He's still alive.
Jesus wanted him to be alive.
Well, I don't think Jesus was smiling on Willie that day. Mm. So Willie said, now Captain Foster cheerfully had said, goodbye, Willie. Willie said, I wanted to say goodbye too, but I was so scared I couldn't talk. I could almost hear...
Wait a minute. When do we have that interview?
Huh?
When do we get this quote
from...
Is this from Beyond the Grave?
No, this is after
the first time?
The second one didn't kill him either. Just jolted him across.
So this is a second attempt during
that
the
day.
First, yeah, that day.
During the first execution.
So this is after the second attempt that he makes a quote.
Yeah.
So he said, I wanted, Captain Foster had said to him, goodbye, Willie. And Willie said, I wanted to say goodbye, too. I think Willie missed the sarcasm there. But I was so scared I couldn't talk. He said, the best way I could describe it is wham, zzz. It felt like 100,000 needles and pins were picking in me all over my left leg like somebody was cutting it with a razor blade. I could feel my arms jumping at my sides, and I guess my whole body must have jumped straight out. I couldn't stop jumping. If that was tickling, it was sure a funny kind. He had been told it would tickle and then he'd die. That's
wow.
I really believed him. So yeah.
How's he find this funny?
Well, first of all, that's pretty. That's pathetic of cops to sit there and you're convinced that he did something. Then you don't look at him and go, oh, it'll tickle, and then you're going to die.
Maybe they were trying to be kind.
And I think, why? They're never kind. And I think it should also be noted that he said all of that without stuttering.
So he said, I thought for a minute I was going to knock the chair over. Then I was all right. I thought I was dead. Oh. Then they did it again. The same feeling all over again. I heard a voice say, jeez, give me some more juice down here. And then I heard a Scottish voice say, I'm giving you all I got now, Captain.
No, I'm sure he didn't hear that.
That was God.
No, he did say, he said, in a little while somebody yelled, I'm giving you all I got now. So witnesses reported hearing him scream from behind the leather hood, take it off, let me breathe. And another stated that he called out, I'm not dying.
Bless his heart.
It turned out that Gruesome Gertie had been improperly set up by an intoxicated prison guard.
There you go. That's quality.
And,
what a nightmare.
After several minutes, someone mercifully called off the debacle. Willie was helped out of his chair, his heart beating wildly, but he was very much alive. Willie told the reporters, God fooled with that electric chair. Well,
I think he's right.
When they realized it wasn't going to kill him, they took him to the corner to get examined. Upon being removed, one of the executioners, Captain Foster, yelled at him, I missed you this time, but I'll get you next time, even if I have to use an iron bar.
Good Lord.
It was the first time in the contraption's 56-year history that the thing had failed to do its job. And, again, it had been transported all over the state. What they really think here was it was improperly grounded. So,
Well, you got two drunks.
Yeah.
Hooking it up.
Yeah. Well, the Louisiana Governor Jimmy Davis ordered that Francis be returned to the chair 6 days later.
So you have to go through all that waiting all over again.
Yeah, following the first one, Willie's father reached out to Bertrand DeBlanc. He was a Louisiana attorney. This is for the appeal.
Somebody did decide to appeal.
This DeBlanc guy was a deeply religious guy, but he was disturbed by the proceedings and the whole conviction thing. So he agreed to take Francis's case pro bono.
Pro bono. Sure.
And I believe that we all around this table are pro bono, aren't we? Is anybody against bono?
I'm pro bono. I don't know any anti-boners. There may be some anti-boners out there.
But he did not get paid for this, but he did get some vegetables.
That's
from
pro bono.
Yeah. So he got a stay of execution because he said the second one would be cruel and unusual punishment.
Which is prohibited by the Constitution.
Yeah. So he worked with the NAACP. He worked for a year and a half. And he felt that a jury would overturn the...
They got to stay.
He felt that he got to stay, and he didn't really want to go back to trial because he felt that overturning the verdict was just an insurmountable task.
Yeah. Overturning a jury's verdict is hard to do.
So what he did was he zeroed in on proving that a second execution would constitute cruel and unusual punishment and amount to double jeopardy. And they're both barred under the Constitution, as you know. As you know, because you're a lawyer yourself.
Yes.
And the case bounced from court to court and wound up in D.C. where the U.S. Supreme Court heard his argument. And in that decision, they ruled against Willie.
5-4.
Yeah, Hugo Black was on that. And he Hugo Black said it did not constitute double jeopardy. Said accidents happen, no man is to blame. So, Justice Harold Burton wrote in a stinging dissent, how many deliberate and intentional reapplications of electric current does it take to produce a cruel, unusual, and unconstitutional punishment? So he said it would be difficult to draw the line between 2, 3, 4, and 5. It is not difficult, however, as we have contended here, to draw the line between one continuous application prescribed by statute and any other application of the current. So what he's saying here is if you would have done it right the first time, that wouldn't have been cruel and unusual. So now, initially, Willie's family were relieved. They'd ruled in his favor. They originally, Willie's family was told that they ruled in his favor.
Yeah, a clerk. There was a
clerk's error.
A clerk's error telling him that the court had ruled in his favor 5-4 when, in fact, they ruled against him 5-4.
Yeah.
So they're all excited thinking he's going to be spared. Oops.
Yeah. So Justice Frankenfurter.
I bet he's German.
No lie.
Was that in Young Frankenstein?
Supreme Court Justice Frankenfurter.
He was so distraught over the whole issue that despite him ruling against Francis, now he ruled against him.
Yeah, he was in the majority.
He enlisted aid of a friend in Louisiana who was also an attorney on friendly terms with the Louisiana governor to try to convince the governor to commute his sentence to life in prison, and the governor, being the big douchebag that he was, said no.
Yeah, so even though he ruled on that particular point of law, he felt that there was an injustice being done. He tried to work a back channel to get it commuted to life.
Yeah. Now, DeBlanc, he ain't giving up here.
Mm-hmm.
So now he has already lost that fight. This time he starts an argument that the whole trial had been a sham. New evidence had been unearthed, including the eyewitness. The state admitted that an eyewitness had seen a car with the lights on outside the pharmacist's house.
Had they done any police work, they could have come up with that.
Yeah, with this, he hoped to get Francis a new trial, this time featuring an actual defense. Problem was the date of the new execution had already been set, and as he suspected, would when he chose the alternative argument, which he took to the Supreme Court, DeBlanc was having trouble getting that date moved back so that he could get the necessary legal motions to get a new trial.
Yeah, he was getting screwed at every turn.
Yeah, so in the end, Willie, who had been telling DeBlanc he didn't even want a second trial, convinced him to drop the matter 2 hours before the scheduled execution. Now, think about that. The guy said, 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know what, fuck it. I'm done with it. Just put me in the chair.
Well, he didn't want to put his family through it.
Yeah, it was very hard on his family. He didn't want to cause his mother, Louise, any more stress. And she was ill at the time. So Willie Francis was executed on May 9th, 1947. He was 18 years old, and this time there was no problems. They got a good current, good ground, and it went straight through him. So it's another case, and this is why I'm in favor of criminal justice and not capital punishment.
Yeah.
Because criminal justice is when you know the person guilty, you do the nasty shit to them. But this poor bastard, everybody knew he wasn't guilty.
Everyone knew he wasn't guilty. Yeah.
But that was not unusual, you know, and it's and the shame is, even with the DNA things we have today, and you could get into a lot of social, political arguments, but really what happens is, when it comes to the justice system, the poor are fucked in this country.
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
that's what it comes
you're
down.
Guilty until proven innocent, basically.
And if you're poor and you can't prove yourself innocent, you're screwed.
I think I read yesterday in the news that they had a record number of people exonerated this year that had been falsely...
For Project Innocence?
For the Innocence Project,
Innocence Project. Well, yeah. And you know, and we don't get into politics as much because everybody has diverse views. But I think one thing that I think everybody in the country, if you're an American, everybody in the country could agree on is that we should not have private prisons.
Yeah.
Prisons should be run by the state, and that's it, because you should not have a profit motive in having people in jail.
Yeah.
It does not lead to justice.
No. What was it? There was a judge, I think, in Pennsylvania. They had a juvenile
attempt. Judge, yeah.
Juvenile judge that was getting kickbacks for all the kids he was sending to a private prison because they're, you know, it's for profit. Yeah.
Well, and Texas is Texas is by far, you know, there's no getting around it. You don't want to offend people, but Texas has the worst justice system in the entire country. I mean, if you have a capital case in Texas, the judge picks the defense attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, this defense attorney is going to get paid by the state. He's going to get paid a lot of money.
Right.
So how...
And he's always going to argue with cases in front of that judge.
Right.
Right.
So it's in your interest to get picked.
Yeah.
Unless you're rich, you can get your own. But right. On a capital case, you're going to get picked.
And if you have a capital murder case, you better have a lot of money in the bank if you're going to hire an attorney because it's going to cost you.
But these defenders, these public defenders, are still they're private attorneys. They don't have a public defender doesn't get a capital case.
Right.
It's a
court-appointed.
It's a court-appointed lawyer, and it's basically an inherently unfair system.
Sure.
Because that attorney is not wanting to be blackballed by that judge.
Right.
You know, so it's, and we don't do any, we know these things are wrong, and that's what's frustrating is you see these things, you know, time after time after time after time, and we know that they're wrong, and we know, you know, Christ, there's plenty of people walking around the street that really need to just be executed, just on general principle.
Well, you know, since doing these podcasts and talking, because, you know, I think I mentioned before I'm opposed to the death penalty just because I don't think the state has a right to take a life. But when you're doing these podcasts and you see the sick shit that people do, I mean, like I said, you know, like the couple, you know, with Myra Henley and...
Ian. With the kids.
Yeah, I mean, that's an argument I'm not ready to make. You know what I mean? I can, okay. If it's going to happen, okay. You know, go ahead. I'll argue the next one. But
yeah,
you see the sick shit people do, and you can understand why there's a need for it. But then you see cases like this, and it's just heartbreaking to know that, you know, that someone is, you know, an innocent guy who's murdered, a kid, really.
Well, look at... you watched Making a Murder.
Mm-hmm.
That poor little Brendan Dassey kid. I don't care about Stephen Avery necessarily. I mean, whether he did it or not or whatever. But, I mean, they just railroaded this kid.
Yeah.
He could not get a decent defense attorney to save his ass.
Oh, no. His defense attorney was about like Willie Francis' defense attorney. He was just...
I mean...
Well, he should have been disbarred.
Yeah.
Oh, he really should have been.
He was awful.
You know, and they coerced this thing, this confession out of him. He didn't have his parents there. He didn't have, you know, nothing.
No attorney,
he's worried.
I mean, real attorney.
And he was not the brightest crayon in the box.
Right.
And, you know, he's worried about getting home to watch WWE.
Yeah.
I mean, he has no clue the gravity of the situation. And you're telling me he's sit there, well, and they're basing everything on his confession, this other kid. They're basing everything on his confession. He's talking about how they slit her throat. Chained her to the bed, slit her throat, but there's no blood. They didn't find blood. Anyway.
No chain marks on the thing.
No chain marks on
her DNA in the house. Anyway.
And then, the prosecutor knew it. They wouldn't even use that testimony.
Yeah.
On the Avery trial. Yeah.
But they went ahead. But they found.
And this kid is. I mean, and as you were mentioning, Colonel, overturning a jury verdict is almost nearly impossible.
Well, and here's the thing: when they appealed it, it went before the same judge.
Yeah.
That convicted it.
They convicted him.
Yeah.
So he's not going to overturn it. There's no way.
A lot of flaws inherent in the system. Okay, any final thoughts, Brandy, on poor Willie Francis, the man who was executed twice? Boy, who was executed twice, I guess.
No.
It's kind of a bummer, don't you think?
It is a bummer. Now I have to go to the dentist.
We should have a... I think instead of running for president, the colonel going to run for attorney general.
I think he should.
Colonel. I think I could fix his justice system.
Well, we will be... behind you 100%.
Yeah.
Colonel Justice.
All right. Brandy, where can people find us?
How come you always ask her?
Colonel, where can people find us?
No, too late now.
Brandy, where can people find us?
I'm not going to take a pity
question.
Why?
You know why he always asks me? Because you're an asshat, and this is what you do.
I gave you a whole story to tell a while ago, and I prompted you to tell
it. Yeah, you did.
It.
You got to tell, all kinds of life stuff.
Yeah.
You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on iTunes. Please leave a review. That's how other people find us. We're on Stitcher. Mm-hmm. And we're on Twitter.
At HistoryDweebs1.
Yes. Someday, if all the stars line up, we will be on YouTube.
Yeah. Now, folks, and you know the YouTube channel is just going to be video, or audio, not video.
Right. We're not going to do video because we're ugly.
Well,
I'm ugly. Colonel is ugly. Brandy is beautiful, but Colonel and I are ugly.
Honestly. Well, Colonel is not an exceptionally handsome man, but as Liam Neeson said in Taken, the Colonel got a special set of skills.
You can fix things. That's your special set of skills.
No, that's not my special
set. I'm tired of hearing about your other special set of skills.
The Colonel got a special
Because set I know of your wife.
Hold on.
I know your wife. Do not Hold call on. Her.
No, we got a caller. No. Hello? Yes? Okay. No. Well, we're going to put you on there.
Call her. Give her a call.
No.
Later. Hello. This is Mrs. Colonel. I would like to know.
All right. We're wasting people's time.
I'm going to choke you with your tie.
Say goodbye, everyone. We'll see you next time on History Dweebs.
Bye.
Good day.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.